these while I'm alive. Little Ozzy suggests that I should leave my literary estate to the loving maintenance of Terrible Chester, who, according to him, will outlive all of us. I will choose another charity, one that has not peed on me. Anyway, I'm not writing this for money. I'm writing it to save my sanity and to discover if I can convince myself that my life has purpose and meaning enough to justify continued existence. Don't worry, these ramblings will not be insufferably gloomy. P. Oswald Boone has sternly instructed me to keep the tone light. If you don't keep it light, Ozzy said, I'll sit my 400-pound ass on you, and that's not the way you want to die. Ozzy's bragging. His ass, while grand enough, probably weighs no more than 150 pounds. The other 250 are distributed across the rest of his suffering skeleton. When at first I proved unable to keep the tone light, Ozzy suggested that I be an unreliable narrator. It worked for Agatha Christie in The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, he said. In that first-person mystery novel, the nice guy narrator turns out to be the murderer of Roger Ackroyd, a fact he conceals from the reader until the end. Understand, I am not a murderer. I have done nothing evil that I'm concealing from you. My unreliability as a narrator has to do largely with the tense of certain verbs. Don't worry about it. You'll know the truth soon enough. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of my story. Little Ozzy and Terrible Chester do not enter the picture until after the cow explodes. This story began on a Tuesday. For you, that is the day after Monday. For me, it is a day that, like the other six, brims with the potential for mystery, adventure, and terror. You should not take this to mean that my life is romantic and magical. Too much mystery is merely an annoyance. Too much adventure is exhausting. And a little terror goes a long way. Without the help of an alarm clock, I woke that Tuesday morning at 5 from a dream about dead bowling alley employees. I never set the alarm because my internal clock is so reliable. If I wish to wake promptly at 5, then before going to bed, I tell myself 3 times that I must be awake sharply at 4:45. While reliable, my internal alarm clock for some reason runs 15 minutes slow. I learned this years ago and have adjusted to the problem. The dream about the dead bowling alley employees has troubled my sleep once or twice a month for 3 years. The details are not yet specific enough to act upon. I will have to wait and hope that clarification doesn't come to me too late. So I woke at 5, sat up in bed, and said, "Spare me that I may serve," which is the morning prayer that my Granny Sugars taught me to say when I was little. Pearl Sugars was my mother's mother. If she'd been my father's mother, my name would be Odd Sugars, further complicating my life. Granny Sugars believed in bargaining with God. She called him that old rug merchant. Before every poker game, she promised God to spread his holy word or to share her good fortune with orphans in return for a few unbeatable hands. Throughout her life, winnings from card games remained a significant source of income. Being a hard-drinking woman with numerous interests in addition to poker, Granny Sugars didn't always spend as much time spreading God's word as she promised him that she would. She believed that God expected to be conned more often than not, and that he would be a good sport about it. "You can con God and get away with it," Granny said, "if you do so with charm and wit. If you live your life with imagination and verve, God will play along just to see what outrageously entertaining thing you'll do next. He'll also cut you some slack if you're astonishingly stupid in an amusing fashion." Granny claimed that this explains why uncountable millions of breathtakingly stupid people get along just fine in life. Of course, in the process, you must never do harm to others in any serious way, or you'll cease to amuse him. Then payment comes due for the promises you didn't keep. In spite of drinking lumberjacks under the table, regularly winning at poker with stone-hearted psychopaths who didn't like to lose, driving fast cars with utter contempt for the laws of physics, but never while intoxicated, and eating a diet rich in pork fat, Granny Sugars died peacefully in her sleep at the age